She wanted them to adopt a morality clause where neither of them would introduce new relationships to the children during the first 90 days of that new relationship. She was caught off guard not only that he refused any such policy, but she was shocked to learn that he was already seeing someone. Now, this unexpected collision on what she believed was a shared value had suddenly exposed the chasm between them. Today, let's review how I handled it. Spoiler alert, I used private caucuses. Welcome to the Pro Se Divorce Podcast, where you can learn how to turn mediocre mediations into major successes. My name is Tom Davis, and I'm a certified professional divorce mediator in Denver, Colorado. I've helped thousands of clients over the past two decades reach success rates and outcomes that are significantly higher than what is typical. In each episode, I will share valuable insights, practical skills, and tools you can utilize right away to improve your mediation outcomes. And I'll serve as your guide through the potentially confusing process of divorce. Better days are coming, starting now. Most times in mediation, the results of a successful mediation are really the results of 100 smaller successes along the way. So you want to not throw away any opportunity to get those smaller successes as you go. And one thing that can help with that is the use of private caucuses with the mediator. Private caucuses are primarily used with in-person mediations. So if you're using shuttle mediation, then you're not getting together at all. The whole process is done independently. The two parties don't see each other and don't interact. The mediator goes back and forth in shuttle. And so there is, you know, everything's basically a private caucus in that result, you know, in that way, if you look at it. But if you're in a joint mediation session, you can use private caucuses prior to the mediation, during the mediation. And so, but the intention is that there's still some joint work, and the private caucuses are a smaller part of that work, and they're just used where tactically needed. They are private conversations between you and the mediator. And so things that are said in a private caucus are privileged and confidential. And if you do get in one, you should very much confirm with the mediator that what is the default setting for information. Some mediators, unless you flag something as confidential, are at liberty to divulge whatever it is they feel like is important for them to move the mediation along. And they may inadvertently disclose something that you would rather not have disclosed. So make sure that the default setting is everything that's exchanged here is confidential, unless something is specifically flagged as it's okay to share, or if it's the other way around, meaning everything is, you know, able to be utilized by the mediator if that mediator thinks it's going to be beneficial to the mediation, and then you're going to flag anything that is confidential so that the mediator doesn't accidentally go out and say something. And that's basically it. And so the basic idea is to use the private caucus to, you know, explore problems, explore solutions, and basically get yourself in a productive state for the joint session. That's essentially what it is. Now, depending on the kind of mediation it is, I have found, and the size of it, the complexity of it, you know, if attorneys are involved, the mediator that's involved, all those things, the caucus can be a pretty dynamic, variably assigned and defined thing. So one of the things that's important for you to understand is that mediation is a very personal thing. And so the mediator is free to craft the process that they believe is the most effective. And that may change based on the type of case it is, whether you're doing financials mediations, or you're doing parenting plans, or you're doing some post-decree work, if you have a high conflict couple or not. All these factor into the different approaches that a mediator may use. And so ultimately the process is really flexible. And so, you know, I might utilize a private caucus differently than another mediator. And that might be entirely different from how you do a private caucus with an insurance case, or, you know, with if it's a lawyer, a mediator who's running the session. So all those things are there. So just realize there's a lot of flexibility in there. And the idea is that the mediator's using and adapting those things for your specific case and for you. And also their strengths and weaknesses, their their approach, the things that, that make them more effective as well. So, but let's look at how it works. Okay, so usually you're in session, and then there needs to be that's where all the work gets done primarily. But then there are certain places where you can utilize the private caucus. So you can do it in session, like in the middle of, right in the middle of the session, say, hey, can I have a minute? And the mediator can pull you aside into a private caucus. Those types are pretty short. You want to keep those as short as possible. You don't want the other person sitting around waiting and getting, you know, frustrated or feeling ignored or anything like that. So you want these to be shorter private caucuses, and then you resume the session. They can be prior to the mediation sessions. You can schedule them prior to getting into the main session. You may already be aware of, and there's two ways this could come about. One may be you're already aware of what the obstacles are going to be. This is most likely the case. You know, there's going to, the other spouse is going to find out you're seeing someone, for example, that they didn't know before, and it's going to cause a, you know, a disruption. And so you want to see how to get ahead of that before you, you know, announce it in the middle of the session. Or the mediator may detect something or, you know, want to get an assessment of what obstacles are there. So the mediator may call for the private caucus. When I do this, I pretty much rely on my gut feel and the information available. So depending on how the parties came to me, if they came jointly and they seem pretty open, I'll invite them and see if there's something they want to share. But if I don't see a need for it, then I may go ahead and get into the main session with them, you know, in a smaller case where the vibe is good. If I detect there's something, you know, they came to me maybe separately, I can detect there's some friction or something, then I may ask for a private caucus to get an assessment of, you know, where's that coming from? What's the history here? So that we get ahead of things. The other way to get into the private caucus is just as an assessment. Maybe you're not, you know, exactly sure what the other party is, where they're coming from. You know, maybe you've separated and lived apart for a few years, and so you've lost touch, or you know there's something going on that is between the two of you that you can detect is, you know, there's something there. And so you may call for, you know, a private caucus, and the mediator can then assess and get into things and talk to you about how to best plan for those potential obstacles, whatever they might be. And so anyway, whether you're responding to specific concerns or you're doing some assessment, and what we'd call more of a coaching, you know, like a mediation coaching type of thing, then the private caucus can be used in a bunch of different ways. And so in my practice, I don't use it rigidly. I use it for as a mechanism, as a tool to have some one-on-one time with a client to help further them toward a joint agreement where both parties are, you know, going to find that to be you know, that's what they want. And so I will use it from, you know, to these assessments, to explore things, to coach someone, all those things. All of it is with the intention of getting to a place where both parties are pretty happy with the outcome. Again, private caucuses are typically not used in a shuttle mediation because shuttle is you're already apart anyway. And so it's basically nothing but these private caucuses essentially. But I've had many, many such meetings. And when attorneys are present, they have, because mediation is again, very flexible and very personal, they may have an idea of what a private caucus is. And so I think it's a good idea as the mediator to go ahead and describe that so everyone is on board with at least my definition of it in this process. So even if you think you know what a private caucus is, maybe you're doing a post-decree mediation and you've been through it before, it's a good idea to confirm so that you're on the same page. In the private caucus, the role of the mediator is important to understand because there could be some confusion about how these are used, and you want to avoid these. So the mediator uses the information in the private caucus to move the negotiation forward. So we will learn information that will help us to, you know, position things and make sure both parties' needs are met without necessarily disclosing some of the underlying issues. And so that's one use of it, and one role of the mediator. The other is to help you know, the parties prepare for obstacles, whether they're known or unknown. So, you know, known obstacle might be, you know, the other person seeing someone, I know about it, I'm angry about it, I haven't processed it. And now we want to talk about child support. I'm going to have a real problem with this. How do we approach that? And so together we will pull that apart and factor in the part we can do something about and work through a strategy of how to deal with that. And so that's one use of that. The other is to help prepare someone for, you know, if they're dealing with a narcissistic person or, you know, they don't have a lot of information, like they don't know how to deal with financial conversations because the other person's really financially savvy and you're not. And so how do you get through that without being taken advantage of? The private caucus is a real good way to kind of develop a strategy for how to participate in that conversation without, you know, it getting away from you. The other role of the mediator is to help you brainstorm solutions. And so not only exploring the problem and helping you figure out what the problem is and, you know, but also what to do about it or how to approach that situation that may be difficult to do on the spot in a joint session. The other thing is the mediator will gain insights and information that inform other decisions. So not just moving the negotiation forward, but maybe communication style or, you know, the fact that there is some underlying stuff, the mediator may recommend, let's say, family therapy, things like that, or it may be the parties may say, I want to resume the joint session. And the mediator may say, well, I think we need to get a little further along this path before we do, right? So the mediator can use the information to assess whether it's a good idea to get together sooner or have another individual private caucus and, you know, maybe establish a little bit more before you get together too soon and rupture things. And the role of the mediator also is to explore sensitive or challenging topics directly, things you can't discuss in a joint session. You can bring up with the mediator, and the role of that mediator is to allow, you know, the exploration of those things so that, you know, it's dealt with. It's not repressed or comes out in the joint session. Some of the benefits of the private caucus can be pretty powerful. You can speak more freely without worry about judgment because the mediator's not going to judge you, hopefully, right? Like they're not supposed to. And so, whereas if you say something to the other party in front of the other party, you know, they're listening and they're compelled, they're paying a lot of money to be here too. So they feel like it's an invitation for them to participate in the conversation or, you know, and maybe you just don't need that. Maybe you're just trying to communicate something and and so knowing that they're going to be there, you might hold back, and then that could harm things because we're not really dealing with underlying issues. So speaking freely to the mediator without judgment is a good thing. You can also avoid negative reactions and escalations from the other party. So when you do speak and they, you know, they react, they're going to be, that could be harmful to things. And so being able to do that in here in the private caucus will allow the expression of things so they can be explored and all that. Another benefit is that you can work out the emotions in a safe place. So this is a place where you can vent, you know, relatively safely. So you can say things that are, you know, frustrating for you that maybe you wouldn't want to say in front of the other party because they're sensitive to it too, and it might cause an escalation. So you're able to just express yourself more freely. The mediator's not going to hang on to the derogatory parts of your emotional journey. They're going to be, you know, trying to listen for other things. And so unlike let's say your spouse or the person you're in mediation with is going to key in on those things, the mediator is just the opposite. They're going to key in on the other things, you know, the substance of the agreement, not the emotion that attached to it. And so that's a really good benefit of the private caucus. You can think through approaches to obstacles and come up with potential solutions or approaches to them. So you can, in the private caucus, think about strategies for approaching difficult topics. You can explore the potential solutions for those things. So you have a few things in mind when we get in the joint session, you're going to be better equipped to have something to contribute to that. You can get some coaching. The mediator can give you some coaching. You know, here's how you handle difficult communication, let's say, or here's how you utilize questions in order to get past awkward moments. Here's how you get more information. Here's how you present a better proposal so it's more apt to be received well. All kinds of things to get you past communication challenges or proposal, presentation, and composition challenges all can be part of that coaching that you get in a private caucus. So let's pick up with our story here from the beginning. So this is a real thing that happened. And I had a private caucus with the husband, and I learned some additional information that made his position, you know, more understandable to me. She had cheated on him in the past, and he suspected she was with someone now, and he was very angry about that, and he felt that he had no control over that. This had ruined their marriage, and now she was, you know, holding up the morality clause like it's a value, and it's very irritating to him, and now I see why, right? So the private caucus revealed this, and he was angry that he had no choice, and now it just seemed like he was not going to offer her a choice. He didn't get a choice in, you know, the marriage being terminated and her seeing someone, and now she wants something. So now, human nature being what it is, I'm not going to give you that. You didn't give me a choice. I'm not giving you a choice. So I discussed with him, you know, I validated that. I understood where he was coming from. And I tried to shift his thinking to the children's perspective and what they would, you know, how they operate, and that they basically model their parents. So if you, you know, how you would handle a situation is what you're teaching them how to handle the situation. And so, you know, I went through a few examples with him, you know, like if one kid somehow, you know, trespassed against the other kid, they have two kids, would he tell the second kid it's okay to get revenge on the first kid, you know? And he said, no, I don't think that's right. And so I said, well, what model would you be showing your children if this is what you did here? And so he was, you know, to his credit, he took the information, and at the time, you know, it didn't sink in. It didn't seem to register, but you know, sometimes people just need a chance to process things. So I talked to him about the kid's perspective and reminded him that they need at least one parent who is modeling the right behaviors. If they have both parents not modeling correct behaviors, there's 100% chance they're going to get the wrong message. And instead, if one parent models the right behavior, over time anyway, a child can see the value in that and know that there's a choice, which is important. That's one of the benefits of having two parents with two different points of view, with two different sets of strengths and weaknesses. It's a lot of modeling for going out into the world, which is a very diverse place. And so knowing that there's options and different ways to do things, it gives you a tolerance for the different ways people do things, which is, you know, helpful to you to be able to reach out and do the second part, which is select the best of those things for yourself as a kid. So parents offering things differently is sometimes not a bad thing. In fact, it's part of how kids establish what is their set of values. And so this was a something he had not considered. And then we basically agreed that the two wrongs don't make a right. And so that's sort of what happened in the private caucus. Now, this is a conversation, you know, it took an hour, and I probably couldn't have gotten through that, as you can imagine, in the joint session while she sat there and listened without participating or being affected by this conversation. And nor would he have felt comfortable addressing it. And so the power of this was at the beginning, you know, she said, I think a morality clause would be good. And he seemed very unreasonable, saying, no way, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to agree to that. And on the initial, you know, surface presentation, you know, she seemed like, I've got the right morals, why don't you? And now when you peel it back a little bit, as is usually the case, you will see there is some more to discuss here. And now the picture is more clear. And so on our next session, before that, actually, he had communicated to me that he had thought about things and had a change of heart, change of position, which is really cool, because when we started this, he just said, I don't agree to the morality clause, and Tom, good luck, I'm not changing my mind. So I hope you're a good mediator, because otherwise we're stuck here. And so after the 1 hour, he came back and said, I have changed my position on this. And so in the next session, he communicated that he, you know, had a change of heart and thought about it. And he agreed in the kid's best interest to agree to the wife's suggestion for a morality clause. Unexpected thing happened there. She experienced a positive shift as well, because deep down she knew she was guilty of some things as well. And what was going on with her was she was using the morality clause as kind of a protection against her current relationship, which she was actually in as well. So by him agreeing to the morality clause, it brought them together, and then she shifted from trying to protect herself from a new relationship to thinking about the same topic of protecting the child, really through the implementation of this morality clause. And so the good news is that we came together, whether they're seeing someone now or not. The sad fact is those probably statistically won't be the people that they're with long-term anyway. And so the morality clause is in place for the next time it would be useful. And so it's in the plan. And so that really shifted the whole tone of everything. Everything felt more open after that. And that seemed to be the big skeleton in the closet for both of them. And since then, everything has been working great. And it did work out great. We got an agreement and everything is good. So that was one private caucus that did all that. So again, either you or the mediator can request the private caucus when it's identified that a topic should be explored outside of the joint session. So anytime there's like sensitive information, the sensitivity of the parties, personal struggles, private caucuses are good for any range of conflict from low, medium, or high. But typically, again, high conflict, you're already in shuttle. So that's probably more, least likely you'll find private caucus in high conflict. But I have done a lot of high conflict mediations in joint sessions and just use private caucus to prepare for them. And then some rules during the joint session. And typically you want to go through the pain of doing all that if you have co-parenting to do afterwards. So it models the fact that, you know, while I don't enjoy talking with you as, you know, as a co-parent, that we have to, because we have kids. And so you kind of get, you know, exposure to that, and that kind of exposure therapy helps you understand that we have to do this. And so that might be a benefit to still doing a joint session where at all possible, if you have an existing relationship co-parenting afterwards. But anytime you want to explore issues or potential solutions or get some coaching. So how do we deal with, you know, I have a real sensitivity. I get provoked easily when she brings up this, or if he's going to start talking about that, I'm going to lose it. How do we deal with that stuff? So that's more easily addressed in a private caucus than it is in a joint session or ignoring it. And so, you know, I didn't use these very much when I first started, but now I suggest them a lot more freely, and clients are reaching out more to discuss things, and it's been very helpful. So, you know, if you're a mediator, if you're not working with me and your mediator doesn't suggest them, you know about them now, and you know that they can be very valuable and useful to overcome some challenges that may not otherwise be, you know, approachable. So anyway, that's kind of a primer on the private caucus. So hopefully that's helpful to you, and that you get something out of that that will move you through some things a little bit smoother. So next time, we're going to be exploring concerns for parenting plans and how to prepare for your parenting plan sessions. This has been Tom Davis. Thank you for joining me today. Remember to protect every accomplishment you make together, and that setbacks are just wins in the making. Stay positive. The Pro Se Divorce Podcast is a production of Family Synergy Mediation. The information in these podcasts are opinions only and should not be considered legal advice. Visit myfamilymediation.com to learn more.